Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets right here on our FTN Network YouTube page on iTunes and Spotify. Chris Meany here with you a little bit later than usual. I think this is going to be our go-to time on Fridays. I waited this out as long as I could just to get some practice reports, get the last minute reports to kind of help you guys. And also on today's show, like I do every Friday, some picks against the spread, some props, some touchdown calls. So props come out pretty late on Friday, start surfacing usually around 11, 12 o'clock. And there's still a few guys that I'd like to, you know, talk about with you guys. And I still can, I just don't have a number on some of those players. So welcome in. My apologies here. If you are watching on our FTN Network YouTube page, we are going through a couple StreamYard issues. We hope to have everything figured out today. So we'll see how today goes. Not as choppy as the past couple of episodes, but on today's episode, we will take your starter sit questions, fantasy football week 3 rankings, projections. I want to show off some of the projections from FTNFantasy.com with you guys today. We're going to talk picks against the spread, money line totals, some touchdown props, and some overall just player props as well. And then at the end of the show, we'll get into some DraftKings stuff. We've been doing that on Fridays. We're going to recap last night in just a little bit. I want to shout out Matt Hodges this morning, who was the winner of the $100 giveaway that we had over at FTN Network. And it was the combined passing yards between Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy. I guess 440. Matt guessed 447, I believe. I think that's what he guessed. And I think it was at 448. Man, you think I'd be more prepared for my own show. 137, 310. So yeah, 447. I think he was just like one off. So congrats to Mr. Matt Hodges. $100 headed his way. Follow FTN Fantasy if you missed out on this last night. We're going to be doing some other giveaways as well, some packages. I'd like to give some packages away to you guys as well. So on Monday, maybe we'll find a couple ways to hook you guys up with a betting package or a fantasy football package. Maybe DFS is your thing. You'd like to get into some daily fantasy sports. We can do that as well. For the hockey people out there, we said yesterday, the fantasy hockey draft kit will be live, officially live on Monday. I've been writing articles all week, sleepers, busts, breakouts, team previews, some NHL betting guides and things like that. But today is straight up football. And I actually want to start the show. Deesh says, no need to apologize. It's Friday. It's actually kind of where, I was close at 440. It was kind of right there. But I want to start the show by apologizing, actually. I was, last night was brutal from a prop standpoint. And it's tough, man. Like, you're not going to get all these things right. But it does bother me when I'm not going to go perfect. But I want to give winners, and I don't want to give losers. Straight up, I just don't want to give any losers. And last night, I just felt like I overthought things. So there was a process that I took away from it anyways, like a learning process. And it was just, the Giants were so brutal last night, 30-12. And I was sitting there thinking, like, the Niners are definitely going to cover. I like them on the spread, 10.5. I just feel like there's going to have to be some playing from behind and some pass attempts for Daniel Jones and maybe some completions for some players, where I just came in here with like Matt Breida over 10.5 receiving yards. And yeah, he had two catches for 10 yards before, you know, a catch for 9 yards that he lost in like the final drive or second final drive or something like that. So, you know, I still think that one was the right process, but Isaiah Hodgins, you know, wasn't on the field. It was a lot of Paris Campbell. Darren Waller had some bad drops. It was on him from a receiving yard standpoint. You know, the targets were there for him. Daniel Jones didn't run as much as I thought. So just thinking, trying to play out the game script. Oh, let's just get into some of these Giants guys, when really it's the Niners who are awesome. It's the Niners who are not just awesome in the NFC and Super Bowl. Now they're favorites to win the Super Bowl. We all love them. They have all these skilled players. It should have just been CMC rushing yards. We talked about Elijah Mitchell. Great. We had that one. But CMC rushing yards, Debo with no Brandon Ayuk, Debo catches and receiving yards, George Kittle catches and receiving yards. That's what it really should have been. And sometimes I fall into the trap of betting these Thursday night football games and all these player props because we like some action. And when really, if this game was on a Sunday with the rest of the other games, probably wouldn't even really touched a lot of those props. So learning process for me, my apologies. I owe you guys a couple, and hopefully we can get after it in just a little bit. So I do want to say what's up to everyone like we always do here, and give us your questions. We'll start with some projections, and hopefully we can help make those tough start or sit questions a little bit easier for you guys. And like I said, again, we'll wrap up with some picks and some props, and we'll try to rebound from yesterday. Seth is in the house. Lutess is in the house. Yes, we were pretty close with that one. SmokyCat.cat in the house. Brzees91 in the house as well. Afternoon Means and Mean Streets Degenerates. Yeah, shocked they televised the Niners practice. Yeah, tough go for the Giants. Don't really have any takeaways from that game. If you missed it, it was what you would have expected. New York struggled offensively to move the football. Not all on Daniel Jones, but you know, CMC did his thing. 18 for 85. He had a touchdown again. Just like a touchdown machine since he's been a member of the Niners, like every game. Elijah Mitchell, 11 for 42. This is one thing we got right on the show yesterday. We expected a little bit more run from him in what was a slow couple weeks for him, and in a short week. We did get Brock Purdy over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Now he is 8-0 in the regular season. He's thrown at least 2 passing touchdowns in every single game but one. Actually, is he 9-0? He is 9-0. He was 6-0 in the regular season last year. 3-0 here to start. 2 passing touchdowns in 8 of his 9 regular season games. Deebo Samuel was a beast. 12 targets, 6 grabs, 129 receiving yards, and he had the touchdown. George Kittle, 7 catches on 9 targets for 90 receiving yards. McCaffrey had 5 grabs for 34. Juwan Jennings, I was thinking about Juwan Jennings. Played him in DFS in a showdown lineup. Ronnie Bell had the touchdown. Shout out to our guy, Daniel Jones, who was all over that. David Jones, DJ, my guy over at FTN Daily, always crushing it with the showdown lineups and DFS. He was on the Ronnie Bell, who had a touchdown, 2 catches, and 24 receiving yards. This is nothing to talk about on the Giants side. Waller had the 7 targets, which led the way. He had a couple bad drops, 3 grabs for 20. Wandell Robinson returned, 5 targets, 4 receptions. I have him in a deep dynasty league. I don't know if I'll ever feel good about starting him. The ceiling doesn't seem high, but you know, it is bad news for a guy like Isaiah Hodgins. Darius Slayton had 6 targets, only reeled in 3 of them for 32. Garrett Bretwell caught a couple passes out of the backfield, 2 of them for 31 yards. Paris Campbell had 6 grabs, but only for 24 receiving yards. So not a lot going on there. Tough sledding for the New York Giants, that's for sure. Okay, let's get into some projections and things. Actually, there's a couple questions. Maybe we can just get after them right away. Only thing I know as of right now is Bryce Young is out. We're going to see the Red Rifle. We talked about that yesterday, and Andy Dalton on the betting show this week, putting the perfect record on the line. And there's a couple picks. I'm already like, I still like Seattle at 5.5, but I do believe Carolina has a better chance of hanging around in this game, potentially winning it with Andy Dalton under center. He still has the same weapons. It's still the offensive line there, but Bryce Young hasn't really been throwing the ball down the field. I don't think you're starting anybody apart from Miles Sanders in that game. Maybe we dive into Adam Thielen when we get closer to kickoff. I don't know what his reception prop is. It was 2.5, and we hit that on the first drive, but it's still the same Carolina wide receivers that really weren't getting a lot of separation. I would imagine Andy Dalton leans on Adam Thielen, leans on Hayden Hurst. And the other game that I was like, was the Colts. I thought maybe the Colts could hang around in that game. Anthony Richardson is ruled out. Gardner Minshew may be better for this offense, maybe better for some of the weapons inside this offense, although Michael Pittman's been pretty good over the first two games. But those two rookie quarterbacks are not going to play this week. So it's Andy Dalton and it's Gardner Minshew. Christian Watson, according to Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers, just looking at his tweet right now, an hour ago, Christian Watson back after sitting out yesterday. And Aaron Jones, who didn't practice yesterday, was getting stretched out. So we'll see how that plays out. But it does sound like that was the plan for Christian Watson, to return to practice on Wednesday, sit out Thursday, and then return here today. And as for Aaron Jones, it does sound like he is going to suit up this week. Still waiting on some other things. Logan Thompson is ruled out. We'll see as we get going here. Maybe there's a couple more injury items that filter through. I know a lot of people probably have Christian Watson. If you've been watching the show, we've talked about him as, you know, a target all summer long. It all depends on your context. So if you have Christian Watson and you're wondering to start him, reach out. Let me know who else, who your other options are. I have Christian Watson on a team with DJ Moore, Puka Nacua, AJ Brown, and George Pickens, and I'm not starting Christian Watson. I'm starting Pickens. I'm starting Puka Nacua, that's for sure. I'm starting AJ Brown because of his ceiling. I know it hasn't been all that great. He spoke it yesterday, and he's going to get his from Jalen Hurts early and often on the Monday Night Football game. And I'm starting DJ Moore. That's where I'm at. You could be in a tough spot to start Christian Watson. I don't think he's going to be full go. He's practiced twice in 3 weeks. He's going to be probably limited in this game. The Saints have a really good defense. I think they've allowed 20 or fewer points in, I want to say, 10 straight games. I believe I saw that from ESPN Stats and Info. I think the record is maybe 11 from the New England Patriots. So the defense is legit. They can stop the run. And Jordan Love has shown us a couple decent things, but he's near the bottom in completion percentage, right? He's Deshaun Watson. I think it's Zach Wilson at the bottom, Deshaun Watson and Jordan Love in terms of completion percentage. So it hasn't been all great for Jordan Love. Excited for him, though, in Green Bay and Lambeau. I think he has 11 pass attempts in his NFL career at Lambeau. I know he hasn't played a whole lot, but most of his games have been outside of Green Bay. So we'll see what he can do, but it's not a good spot for him against Tennessee. Or against New Orleans, rather. Deesh, half point PPR. Swift, DJ Moore, Dotson, Kelly, leaning Swift. Looking at Ratcliffe's rankings, DJ Moore feels like the safest. I would agree with this. It doesn't sound like the weather is going to be as bad in Washington. You know, a couple days ago, it was looking like the weather would be bad at MetLife between the Pats and the Jets. Washington and Buffalo and Baltimore and Indy. It sounds like maybe some wind and a little bit of rain. That total in New York has moved from 41 to 36 and a half. It's a low total game. I still like Dotson as a player. No Logan Thompson. Maybe we see a little bit of an uptick for him in terms of targets. But at this moment, you know, the first couple of games, only 3 grabs, roughly 40 yards in each game. I would go with Swift. I think it's going to be a tougher game for him. Like the Eagles and the Bucks, they're 1-2 in terms of rushing yards allowed, like the fewest per game. And over the last few years, they have been really good rush defenses. But I would go DJ Moore in a game where they're down 14. He just came off a 100-yard game. And I would lean with Swift there. I think Kelly's going to have a better game. We just saw the Eagles run all over Minnesota, and it doesn't sound like Eckler is going to play in this game again. He's going to miss this week. A high total of 54.5, but I would lean with DJ Moore there. I think he's got the higher ceiling. Smokey the Cat. Dot Cat, what's up? Welcome in. Should I trade Jacobs for Debo? These kind of questions I'm always going to answer, but if I can get a little bit of context, just for example, I'd like to know who else is on your team. Like, you can make a case for any of that. Straight up, 1-for-1, sure. Like, do you need wide receiver help? What other running backs are on your squad? Because I like, as much as I'm an alpha wide receiver, I'm a heavy wide receiver in a lot of my drafts. We talk about the hero RB strategy of one running back and in the first few rounds and then diving back into them. You know, Jacobs may be your alpha running back, and what other running backs do you have in your squad? So, you know, it's probably a bad time to trade Jacobs coming off a game against the Bills where he didn't do anything. He's still a guy that I would view top 5 probably in rushing attempts at the end of the season. He led the NFL in rushing yards last year. Debo had a great game. He's awesome. Debo is fantastic. I was team Ayuk over Debo. Now, I don't know how much time Ayuk is going to miss. I could get behind that trade, but honestly, as much as I say I like the alpha wide receivers at this time of the season, I really have a hard time moving on from running backs because of the landscape of the position already. When we show the projections, there's a lot of names here that I never would have imagined ranking inside the top 20, sub 25, 30 into week 3. Injuries are tough, and there's a lot of timeshares and committees out there. And this is a lot of, you know, bad running backs at the moment. Like, so we'll see. You give me any context there, we can get into that in a little bit later on. Waller getting all those targets and involvement, just can't catch the ball. Weird usage in the first quarter. We saw Bellinger with more snaps than him, but it did, go into Waller's favor in a little bit. Giants look flat, mind you, against one of the best defenses in the league on the road. Short week for sure. Mitchell had decent usage last night, even before things got out of hand. Yeah, he did. Absolutely. We got that rushing yard prop pretty early on. Do I play Jacoby Myers over Brian Robinson Jr., Javonte or Kelly? Already starting Davante Adams. Yeah, if you're already starting Davante Adams, maybe you don't want two Raiders in there. It's a really good defense in the Steelers. They're going to get pressure on Jimmy G. So, you know, first game back of a concussion, first game was really, really good for him. I would lean with Brian Robinson Jr. You know, he's shown us a lot here over the first couple of weeks, a lot of attempts, catching balls out of the backfield. Washington wants to run the football and slow the pace down. That's how they play. They run, they put themselves into third and manageable situations to move the chains and keep Josh Allen off the field. So I'm leaning Brian Robinson Jr. there, and I probably would anyways, anonymous, despite the fact that you have Devontae there. Should have played Ferguson over Waller. Yeah, I mean, it's always easier to say that after. I'm a big sell high on Waller. I'm a little bit concerned about the hammies. I know everybody was all over him, and I totally understood it. You know, the usage and Daboll acquiring him and the first reads that we saw in the preseason. The tight end position is just so tough, right? I mean, that's why I was really aggressive on TJ Hawkinson. And again, for the second straight week, TJ Hawkinson is my tight end too. Kelce, Hawkinson, Andrews, and then there's just everybody else at this point. But I think you just got to continue to roll out Waller. If there's a tight end you can grab off the waiver wire, like a Sam Laporta, a Zach Ertz, then maybe you move on from Waller, or you trade him for something else that can balance out your team, because it's just so tough there. It's just so tough at the tight end position. Red Rifle, more like Red BB Gun. Daily Handle in the house. Good afternoon, Means, and everybody happy Friday as well. Would you all drop the Jets D for Chiefs D? They play each other next week. Yeah, our Chiefs D is a good spot this week too, right? Against Justin Fields. He's been sacked a bunch, and he is holding onto the football just too long. He's just holding onto the football too long. Chiefs D is underrated. Spags is a really good defensive coach, and you're going to want to roll out the Chiefs D next week against the Jets. You're not going to want to roll out the Jets D. So really good defense in New York. Great defense. I think it's certainly a top five unit, roughly, arguably. But you're going to want to roll out the Chiefs this week and then the Chiefs next week as well. Treylon Burks, Renfro, or Damian Harris. Dude, you can't play Hunter Renfro. I wouldn't even hold him. Honestly, I just would not hold him anymore. I don't know why he's not getting any targets. He's got one catch through two games. He had one catch last week, and Jacoby Myers didn't play. This is, I think, one of the better route runners in the NFL. He's a really good player. I don't know why he is not touching the field. Is this a Josh McDaniels thing? He should be on the field. I mean, he'd be a nice little safety valve there for Jimmy G. Like, Jacoby and Devontae and Hunter, that should be a really nice three that the Raiders have, but you just can't roll with him at this time. And I don't really like these options that you have. Daily Handle, Damian Harris and Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks had a big catch last week. He is among the leaders in yards per catch, but it's not saying a whole lot because he's not getting a lot of looks against Cleveland. I think there may be a little bit of rain in that game. I don't expect a lot of scoring. I have a lean to the under and the Titans covering. Damian Harris is only going to get you about five or six carries, and Latavius Murray played over him last week, had more snaps, more carries. They both had rushing touchdowns. I would lean with Treylon in that situation, Daily Handle, and I think I would cut my ties with Hunter Renfro. I'd take another maybe upside. Is Jaden Reed available in your league? He's got a crazy target share. I know Watson's coming back. Mingo would be patient. Adam Thielen, Kendrick Bourne. I don't know. There's several wide receivers I think at this point that I would rather roster than Hunter Renfro. And this is not a Hunter Renfro thing. It is bizarre. Yeah. I mean, Jacoby's going to play this week. He's going to be good, but hold on to your bell cow, right? I agree, Lou. I think that's really what it's all about. If you could, I would hold on. Debo had a really nice game last night, for sure. No Ayuk. But if you look at his 4 years, 2 years ago was that outlier year. 10 points per game, 10 points per game, 18, 10 points per game last year. I know we talked about how he wasn't in the best shape last year and health-wise, and he was really motivated to turn the corner this year. but he doesn't get those red zone rushing attempts anymore that he got 2 years ago with CMC in there. That's really it. But yeah, it's really tough to find a running back that's going to get 22 opportunities, carries plus targets on a weekly basis. And Josh Jacobs is one of those guys. No problem. Anytime. Let's get into the projections. I want to show you guys some projections. We'll start here pretty strong with the running backs. Again, you're starting all of these guys. Tony Pollard here, 12-point favorites for Dallas, playing Arizona. And Tony Pollard is like minus 170 for a touchdown. How about Bijan Robinson? I believe he is he second in rushing yards? He may be, and he's only played a couple of games. And I really liked what I saw from him. Yeah, 180 rushing yards is his number two. Christian McCaffrey's got 353. Of course, he's played three games. DeAndre Swift is second in the NFL in rushing yards, and he had three rushing yards in week one. My goodness, it is tough sledding for running backs at the moment. These are the rushing yard leaders right now. CMC, Bijan Robinson, DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb, James Cook, James Conner, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson, Derrick Henry, Jerome Ford, Tony Pollard, Dave Montgomery, and Breece Hall, who has 14 carries and had four last week for 9 yards. Whew. I think you want to hang on to Josh Jacobs. Tony Pollard in here, Bijan Robinson. Really nice to see Bijan Robinson play just over 70% of the snaps last week, and Tyler Allgeier live in that 40% range. So that was really a nice positive if you're a Bijan guy. He has 75 receiving yards and 10 grabs so far. More on that in a little bit, but you see we have him projected for 30.7 receiving yards and 70.4 rushing yards. I'll tell you that his rushing yard prop and his receiving yard prop is lower than those two numbers, according to our prop shop. Travis Etienne is a top five back this week. Heck, he may be a top five back the rest of the way until we see some of these bodies like Eckler and Saquon come back. I suppose that he'll fall outside the top five then. But a dream matchup against the Houston Texans. I'm looking to see if Tank Bigsby can get a few more carries. Week one, he had the rushing touchdown. Week two, he didn't really touch the field. We'll see if he can get on the field a little bit if Jacksonville does push the pace. They're 8.5-point favorites at home against a team in Houston with a really depleted offensive line at the moment. So Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs here, Derrick Henry, Kenneth Walker. I mean, Kenneth Walker has, like, from a fantasy standpoint, he's been great. He's getting some touchdowns. He's got two rushing scores, but so far, the efficiency, again, not fantastic. 12 for 64, 17 for 43. He does have five grabs. He had four catches in week one for 3 yards. But you're starting all of these guys. Joe Mixon, Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, I have him as a top 10 back. Jake had him around running back 17, 18. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm right and he's wrong, but I'm right and he's wrong. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get a ton of work. You know, Dave Montgomery is not ruled out yet, but I would expect that to come down at any moment. And I don't know if Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get, you know, all the red zone rushing attempts. You know, I saw something really weird last week where Josh Reynolds had a red zone rushing attempt, but 7 attempts in week one, 7 attempts in week two. I feel like he's going to live in the 13 to 15 range. And the fact that he caught 7 balls last week on 9 targets makes me like him a lot. You know, Montgomery is that goal line back, but I don't think that Craig Reynolds is going to be the goal line back. I think Jahmyr Gibbs, as much as they want to ease him into the NFL, he's going to get some work this week against the Falcons. Ramondre Stevenson, Raheem Mostert, and then we got Kyren Williams there on the bottom of the list. And Kyren Williams, man, a lot of opportunities last week for him. He had 10 targets last week, which I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, he's going to get double-digit targets again, but he probably will get 20 opportunities. Carries plus targets, 14 for 52 last week and a touchdown, 15 for 52 in week one and 2 touchdowns. He's got 4 scores in 4 weeks. I would imagine 20-plus opportunities for him on Monday night against the Bengals, and this is where we're at. He's an RB1. Those are your top 12 running backs according to FTN Fantasy and projections. Let's dig a little bit deeper here. Alexander Mattison, just a little too high for me. Nothing against Ratcliffe. I mean, he's the GOAT. So maybe I'm the one who's wrong on Alexander Mattison here. It is a high total game. They acquired Cam Akers this week. I don't expect to see a whole lot of Cam Akers. Mattison should be the lead, but I have some concerns about their offensive line, you know, a backup center, and they were down to like their third string left tackle, I believe, last week on that Thursday night football game against the Birds. We have Madison here. It's not like this is anything fantastic, but 13.6 carries, which is something I think he could get to, you know, 12 carries, 54 rushing yards. We have him for two grabs and 17.3 receiving yards. It's a high total game, 54.5. He should be the goal line back there, but Cam Akers is knocking on the door. And I think if you're a Madison owner, you should be worried. And Madison himself maybe should have some concerns with Cam Akers now in town. And of course, we'll have to pour it out for Ty Chandler. It just never, ever happened for us. Miles Sanders, DeAndre Swift, Rashad White. So Swift and White in tougher matchups, but certainly the usage, if I had to choose between one of the two, I would actually lean with Rashad White. The usage should be there. We have him for like another carry. I don't think Sean Tucker is going to steal a whole lot from him. It was a much better game last week in terms of efficiency, but this is a really tough spot. I would expect him maybe to, this would be the game where maybe he gets three or four catches out of the backfield. He did catch 50 balls last year as a rookie. Let's see a little bit more of that. DeAndre Swift, it does sound like Kenneth Gainwell will play on Monday. I think Swift will be the lead. We'll certainly see some Kenneth Gainwell, but I would say Swift is living in this 12 to 13, 14 carry range. You know, Vegas has him for roughly 46 rushing yards. So, I mean, that's an edge right there at 63.5. Don't ask Mike Randall. He likes the under for Swift this week, but 2.5 grabs. Haven't really seen a ton. Some catches, some targets, but hasn't been doing a whole lot with that. And I don't think that's going to be a major thing for him. That's going to be the big difference this year between Swift and Detroit is he's actually going to get some carries in Philadelphia, and he's not going to get a lot of targets like he did in Detroit. Zach Moss got all the targets and all the attempts and all the snaps last week. So you have another week or two of rolling out Zach Moss. Of course, it is a tougher matchup according to the DVOA tool we have over at FTN Bets and FTN Fantasy, courtesy of Mr. Shots. Baltimore has got a top six defense. They're sixth in rush DVOA and they're a top 10 defense, and that's not surprising. But Zach Moss is going to get a lot of targets, and he got some checkdowns from Gardner Minshew last week. Brian Robinson Jr. in here. I do believe this is a bounce back spot here for Najee Harris. We talked yesterday about Najee Harris being a start. These were some of the players that I said I would start this week with confidence. Kirk Cousins is a borderline top five quarterback for me this week. Brian Robinson Jr., Kyren Williams. Najee Harris, you know, as we talked about with Najee Harris, it's more about the matchups. The Raiders have allowed 138 rushing yards per game. That's the sixth most. And they've allowed 17 catch-ups. Oh boy, where's the bats? Catches to running backs in two games. So not only do I think that this could be a get-right spot for Najee Harris, the buy-low window could close because they have the Texans next week, which is even a better spot than the Raiders. But I will honestly say, just like everybody else sees, Jaylen Warren looks like the better back. He looks like the more explosive back. He's not getting a ton of carries, but he's getting on the field and he's catching passes. And at this moment, Pickett has really only showed me that Pickens and Warren are guys that he can complete passes to. So I do believe that Warren is worthy of a flex play this week, especially in a PPR setting. Other guys I had on this list, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers. And I'm sure like you may have just been hesitant to roll out Addison, Flowers, and Nico Collins, but these are guys that I would play, for example, over Garrett Wilson this week. I have a lot of Garrett Wilson. It's tough to sit him against New England in what could be a sloppy weather game, and he has two touchdowns in two games. The upside is significant, but that's where I'm at this week. Jordan Addison against the Chargers, Zay Flowers against the Colts, Nico Collins against Jacksonville, Josh Reynolds, I think he's going to play, need confirmation here. He missed practice yesterday, or he's limited with a groin injury, but Josh Reynolds is more like a wide receiver four or flex, maybe a DFS play. We continue to hammer his props, Sam Laporta and Zach Ertz. These are tight ends I like over like Higbee and Dalton Schultz. Romeo Dubs hasn't shown us a whole lot. Juju, I just don't see the upside, and he's not playing at New England. He's actually playing the Jets. Jackson Smith and Jigba, great player. Wouldn't drop him. It's like stash, you know what I mean? A stash, hold on. Small ceiling at the moment, and definitely the number three there. Hollywood Brown, I like a little bit more. No, we said yesterday about Trayvon Diggs, unfortunately lost for the season. My goodness, you just don't like to see the injuries, and Trayvon Diggs has been one of the better corners in the NFL over the past couple of years. You know, he jumps routes, he gives up big plays, but, you know, he picks off a lot of passes too. He's a really good player. And this opens up the door a little bit more for Hollywood Brown. You see Garrett Wilson there, Dalvin Cook, AJ Dillon, Damian Pierce, Jordan Love. We'll get back to the end of those running back projections. James Conner, Jerome Ford is a touch high for me. I would play Joshua Kelly and Isaiah Pacheco over Jerome Ford this week. I like the spot for Pacheco against the Chicago Bears, not believing in their defense. You got two touchdown favorites here for Kansas City. I know their offense hasn't been great, but, you know, Travis Kelce, of course, is the engine, and he was limited last week. He's going to find the end zone maybe a couple times this week. We'll see Sky Moore hopefully find the end zone again. Isaiah Pacheco, I think he'll score a rushing touchdown, and, you know, he could top that 57 rushing yards and wouldn't be shocked. Not seen a lot of McKinnon. We're definitely seeing some Pacheco there. Joshua Kelly, maybe it's a Bieniemy thing. McKinnon could have been. As of now, Nagy is rolling out Pacheco, and he's getting targets out of the backfield. And just Kelly, because last week was that tough spot against the Titans. Now, Jerome Ford has that tough spot against the Titans. This isn't anything to do with Kareem Hunt. I feel like Ford will be the feature back for the Brownies, but Joshua Kelly in that high total game and what is a little bit of a better matchup. Any questions here? Expected to play Henry? Yes, I do believe so. We'll have to see, you know, today if there's anything else there. Kyle Woods, listen to Jeff's wide receiver cornerback matchup pod today. He talked about Madison and the trade 2026. Yeah, not sure where you're going with that one. But the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool is probably my favorite tool that we have. I got to start showing that to you guys. Founding father faced pretty tough D in the first 2 weeks, but needs signs of life. Yes, I would agree with that. And then we got need to replace Ayuk full PPR. Whew. May need both. Yeah, Waddle is very, very questionable to play. I would not expect Waddle to play. This is a big day for him. He's been sidelined due to a concussion. Yeah, you're probably going to have to play both. I would lean Elijah Moore over JSN because of just that Titans defense. Teams are throwing all over them, and he is getting the targets. You know, he's had a couple bad drops, but I don't think they're going to have much success running the football there. Let's move over to some wide receiver projections here. See some people jumping in the show, and we will get to some picks and some props if you're here for that in just a couple of moments. I'll just roll through this one pretty quickly because you're starting all of these guys, but just wanted to show you guys where Puka Nacua actually is here after 2 weeks. Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Deebo Samuel. We had pretty high there in our projections, and he did pop off last night. AJ Brown, I think a bounce back spot for him this week against, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool. Again, he does have a really good matchup this week, and I do believe it was the top 10, may have been the sixth best matchup. I mean, really got to show you guys that wide receiver cornerback. It's just worth the subscription altogether. Plus, you're going to get rankings, projections, and start and sit, and all kinds of content. Yeah, so the matchup rating, the top one is Jefferson, Diggs, Amon-Ra, Garrett Wilson actually against Christian Gonzalez. I'm not fully buying into that one. I know he's a rookie cornerback, but sloppy weather does worry me. AJ Brown there against Zion McCollum, Deebo Samuel, Davante Adams, Puka Nacua against Mike Hilton in the slot, Zay Flowers against Dallas Flowers. A little Flowers on Flowers action there. Jamar Chase, I think you have to start regardless. I know that's a Monday Night Football game. If there's no Joe Burrow, I would be starting Jamar Chase. I'd be a little hesitant to roll out T. Higgins. Puka Nacua right there as wide receiver 11 in our projections, and all he has done is, 35 targets. 35 targets from the old boy and 25 catches here through the first 2 weeks of the season. It's crazy, man. It's just so nuts. I know my guy Kevin Adams tweeted out yesterday that at 39% ownership, or I drafted him in 39% of my leagues in best ball, but it's okay. I can't pat myself on the back. Christian Watson's number two for me. Chris Olave in there as well. Let's dig deeper. Devontae Smith, Mike Williams, Mike Evans, right? The bounce back game we predicted for Mike Evans last week. Another high scoring game here this week. So you roll him out. Mike Evans, I think he's going to see some slay, but they can move him into the slot a little bit. I think this will be a Godwin game. And Cade Otton, I'm interested in deeper formats, maybe, you know, the Monday night DFS slate, or if I see a 2.5 catch prop, I might dive into that as well. Waddle, but Waddle owners should be aware that he may not play this week. DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman, George Pickens, pretty explosive with the ball in his hands, and that was on full display last week with the 71-yard strike. Tyler Lockett, Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper didn't look like he was going to play last week. Not only did he play, he played really, really well, and he's got that spot against the Titans this week that I like. T. Higgins and Garrett Wilson. Let's go even deeper. So you see Garrett Wilson there up at the top, say Flowers, DeAndre Hopkins. Michael Thomas has gotten a lot of targets here through the first 2 weeks from Derek Carr. Of course, the explosiveness so far has been Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, but Michael Thomas is getting some looks, and it's been nice to see. Two games, he's healthy. There seems to be a little bit of a rapport there for him and Derek Carr. So a little bit of uncertainty. He was going roughly wide receiver 40, 45 in drafts. I have a lot of shares of him as like my fifth wide receiver, and now he's finding ways to get into my lineup, and he is ahead of DJ Moore here. DJ Moore, just after Tutu Atwell, I would try to sell Tutu Atwell at some point. I think Cooper Kupp will come back, and of course he's going to cut into everything that's happening between him and Puka and even Kyren Williams last week, but you have him, you roll him out there because he definitely has the trust of Stafford, and he did play more snaps than any Rams wide receiver last week. Christian Kirk had a big week. I think this could be a Zay Jones week. I think they'll flip-flop back and forth. It was good to see from Kirk, and I would consider selling high. Terry McLaurin, Nico Collins. We love Nico Collins in this show. Finally seeing the breakout here in year number three, Jordan Addison, Jerry Jeudy. Expect a little bit more in his second game back here. From injury, Drake London in there as well. So those are the wide receiver projections. The rest of the slate here looks like this in terms of odds and totals, spreads. I'm going to give you my picks and then I'll come back to this. Last week I was 13-3, so maybe we can have some sort of carryover. So I'll give my spreads for all the games after, but this is where I'm at for my picks this week. I think the Titans at +3.5. Cleveland's got some issues with their offensive line at the moment. No Nick Chubb. Man, Deshaun Watson, it's not all on him, but he doesn't look good. He doesn't look good at all. Turnovers, completion percentage near the bottom in the NFL. Could be a sloppy game. Titans are going to be able to stop the run. Vrabel's a good coach. The Titans have played two close games already to start the season. I like them at +3.5. So on the betting show, I had Seattle at 5.5. I had Dallas at 12. I still think the Cowboys will cover, but that is a big number. But Seattle at 5.5 here, I still like it, even though Andy Dalton is under center here for Carolina, and he will give them a better chance to stay in this game and potentially win it. But I like Seattle at home. It's a really tough place to play, and Dalton's going to feel how weak that offensive line is in Carolina at the moment. So Seattle at 5.5, and Tampa, I think, is going to hang around with the Eagles at +5.5. We've been on the Bucs. We were on them week one to cover. We were on them to win last week. I like them, man. Like, they still have some good players defensively, Devin White and guys that can get after the quarterback. Baker has shown us a couple things. He's avoided some pressure and some sacks. Mike Evans has been good. You know, he's getting the ball to Evans and Godwin. I think this is just going to be, a tight football game, like a field goal game. I think the Eagles will pull this one out, but the offense in Philadelphia hasn't been fantastic to start the season. New offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson, has taken a little bit, you know, to kind of figure this thing out. I don't think Jalen Hurts should be running as much, and I don't think he will run as much as he's done in the past couple of years. So I think that's a tight football game, +5.5. I'd like New England to go in and beat the Jets here. Zach Wilson hasn't beaten Bill Belichick yet. The Patriots have owned double-digit wins, like a lengthy streak here against the Jets. Sloppy weather game. Mac Jones has shown me a little bit more in week one. You know, he was good. And that's another thing with the Eagles, by the way. This is a team that hasn't been able to stop the pass so far this season. You know, Cousins threw all over them last week. Mac Jones threw all over them in week one. So not only is their offense, you know, not even close to where it was last year, defensively, they're giving up some big plays. And they lost Avante Maddox for the season last week. That's why I think Godwin in the slot, maybe moving Mike Williams in the slot sometimes. And of course, they've really struggled to stop the tight end position, Hunter Henry in week one. And then last week, Hawkinson, you know, that's three tight end touchdowns in two games. And Hawkinson had a big time game. But back to New England, both defenses very, really strong. Man, that's a low number, right? 36.5. I told you it was 41, and it's really dropped down weather, poor offenses, good defenses. Don't think we'll see a whole lot. I could see like a 14-10 game, maybe a 17-14 type game or something like that. So I'm on the under in that game. I'm on the under in Tennessee and Cleveland, as I mentioned a couple times, how I feel like that game is going to go. I like the Saints to continue on here. I know Randall is not a big Saints guy. And last week we had a big debate about New Orleans and versus Carolina, and Carolina got the late touchdown, ended up being a push. I've been heavy on the Saints here all offseason. I expect them to win the division. I think they'll get to double digit wins. They got a good defense, right? They got a really good defense, and they've only allowed one touchdown. Jordan Love at home, get it, home opener. Derek Carr on the road does struggle on the road over the course of his career. It's out of a dome, second road game in a row. I get all of that. But I am going here with the good defense and the weapons that New Orleans has at the moment in Michael Thomas and Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. I think those guys will be able to do enough. But ultimately, it does come down to defense for me. And this team allowing 20 or fewer points now, like 10 straight games dating back to last season. So a really, really strong unit. This one was tough for me to call, Minnesota and LA. I mean, this is obviously a coin flip game. It's basically a pick 'em. When I come with these money line plays, I just don't want to give anything over minus 160, minus 165. I think the Lions will find a way to beat the Falcons, but they're around minus 165. So I wanted to give something that may be worth your time. And minus 110 at Minnesota at home, both teams 0-2. You know, clearly they both need wins. Who needs the win more? You know, I would say Minnesota. Like, the Chargers are this team that everybody just expects to be awesome every year. Like, they made the playoffs last year. Justin Herbert wasn't great in that playoff game. They had the big lead. They blew it. They find ways to lose games and close games. And you could say the same thing for Minnesota. They found ways to lose in week one and week two, mostly because of the turnovers that they had. And that's part of the football. That's part of the game. If you're going to turn the ball over like that, you're most times going to be on the wrong side of it. But at the same time, this is a team that won a lot of close games last year. They made the playoffs. They hosted a playoff game. They're at home. Both quarterbacks are great, but I have more confidence right now in Kirk Cousins and this offense than I do with the Chargers. If Austin Eckler was playing, maybe I would change my tune just a touch, but I am leaning with Minnesota, and I think we're going to see a lot of points. 54 is a high number. I'm right in there. Maybe that's a sucker bet, but I am there. I'm after it. Last week, we got the parlay and the teaser right, so let's see if we can get 2 weeks in a row here. Jacksonville, Baltimore, Buffalo, Seattle on the money line, plus 201, four-leg parlay. These teams are pretty juiced, not going to lie, but I do expect these teams to pull off W's. And then we have the teaser here, Buffalo minus one, Jacksonville minus three, Baltimore minus 2.5, Seattle to win the game, Dallas and KC to win by a touchdown. So I tease those games down just a touch, although I would lean with KC and Dallas covering both of those games. So we have some picks there for you. We have some props. Odell Beckham Jr. out with an ankle injury. We can just feel better about Zay Flowers. And you know what? Let's just get to Zay Flowers right now. We do have some props, and I do believe Zay Flowers is on there for me. Yes, he is. So a couple guys that I've talked about this week in particular, Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison, not needing a whole lot to hit their receiving yard props. We'll start here with Puka Nacua. I think this is kind of self-explanatory. 63.5 receiving yards. I'm already seeing that number move up to 65, 66. I'm just going to ride this thing out. You know, last week it was 47.5, and he hit that in the first quarter, and his catch prop was at 4.5 at plus money, and we hit that one as well. Let me see if we can get some live odds here. So still some 63.5s out there, DraftKings and BetMGM, but DK is a little bit of juice at minus 135. I'm not seeing any catch props for him just yet. I know this game is on Monday. We'll check back in on Monday, and I do believe we'll see that number up a few yards. We have him in our projections. I think we showed it, right? I mean, there's an edge here in terms of this number and what we have him for. We have him for 74.4 receiving yards, and right here that's a 63.5. As for Zay Flowers, last week he had the over 3.5 catches and the over 39.5 receiving yards. He's topped this number, 48.5, in his first two games, 78 and 62. He was the clear-cut number one option for Lamar Jackson in week one, but he did play behind Mark Andrews in terms of targets in week two. Having said that, Definitely ahead of the other wide receivers now. Daily Handle breaks the news that OBJ is sidelined for this game. Even if he was active, you know, I'd still be in on Zay Flowers. He really only needs a couple grabs to get to this number. He has 78 yards after the catch already, which is top 10 in the NFL. So we're over 48 and a half. New to the show, not going to see a whole lot of unders here. We'll try to find them when there's some edges, but I feel like there's edges on the overs. Jordan Addison is kind of, it's very different than Zay Flowers. He's certainly seeing a lot of one-on-one coverage, but it's Justin Jefferson, it's CJ Hawkinson, and it's probably KJ Osborne at this point over Jordan Addison. Having said that, 133 yards in his first two games, and he only has seven catches. He has a touchdown in each one of those games, 19 yards per catch, ranks sixth at the wide receiver position, and third among players with at least seven grabs. As I mentioned, a lot of one-on-one for Jordan Addison, and that's going to continue. When you have a guy like Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson, a lot of the attention is going to go to those two guys. We've seen in week one, and we've seen in week two. You know, he was able to beat the one-on-one, create separation, blow the top off defenses. Week one was busted coverage. Week two, he just turned corner inside out. And we have this game at 55 points between the Chargers and the Vikings. So over 49 and a half receiving yards. I'm staying away from the Flowers. Flowers at 4.5 grabs. It's plus money. I may jump on that one. But Addison, I'm not going to jump at the 4.5. I'd rather take the receiving yards for these two guys. CeeDee Lamb at 5.5 receptions at minus 130 and 68.5 receiving yards at minus 110. This game could get out of hand for sure pretty early on the Arizona side of things. But this is just too low a number for me not to jump on. You saw the projections earlier. We have him for 6.5 receptions, and we have him for 85.6 receiving yards. 85.6, this is 68.5. He had 77 yards on four grabs in week one. He hauled in 11 of his 13 targets in week two for 143 yards, and that game was out of hand as well. So he is caught, quick math, 15 of his 17 targets. He's pretty much catching everything thrown his way at the moment. So 5.5 is a little bit juiced at minus 130. I think it kind of correlates together. If he gets six grabs, I think he's going to live in that 70-yard range. And this correlates as well. DJ Moore burned us week one. We got it week two. He only had the two targets in week one. They came in a couple minutes to go in the first half. DJ Moore, the first two throws from Justin Fields were to DJ Moore, and he topped his receiving yard prop immediately on those two throws. So again, looking at the projections, we have him for 59.2 receiving yards and 4.4 catches. This is a game where the Bears are clearly dogs, two touchdown dogs. And I know a lot has been made of Justin Fields this week, you know, calling out the coaching staff and retracting that statement. You called out the coaching staff, dude. Like, I get it. They deserve to be called out, but you got to take some of that blame yourself. You're holding onto the football a little bit too long. But did you guys see the Shaq Barrett play last week? You know, when he had the touchdown, they called the same play three times in a row. Three times in a row. This is not all on Justin Fields. Trust me, he looks bad. Doesn't look good. Holding onto that ball too long. Not accurate. Not confident. You know, missing reads of guys that are open in the middle of the field. He's not even seeing it. This is not all on him. A lot of it is the coaching staff. This team has lost, what, 11 games in a row dating back to last year? They're not a good football team. Trading a second-round pick for Chase Claypool. Like, come on. Like, this is not all on Justin Fields. But that number is just too low. I expect him to throw the football here. They can say they want to run the ball all they want. Fields didn't even really run in that second game. They're going to be playing from behind. If you're going to take one of those two bets, I would take the receiving yard prop because we know that he is extremely explosive with the ball in his hands. DJ Moore, that is. 13-point dogs, six catches, 104 yards last week. I'm in. I'm in on the 3.5 and 41.5 receiving yards. And if you're a DJ Moore owner, you know, you just got to hope that I'm an owner. People are trying to buy. I'm not selling. You know, I'm going to ride this thing out, and I hope it gets a little bit better. I liked what I saw last week. Hopefully that continues here. Bijan Robinson over 65.5 rushing yards and over 23.5 receiving yards. Let's see if we can get a live number on his receptions. I didn't see anything earlier, and I'm not yet either. So a couple things. Prop Shop, again, it's your friend, right? 65.5. at minus 120 now over at PointsBet. DraftKings is hanging 70. And his receiving yards, I'm seeing 22.5, so we can even get a better number now. The 22.5 is at Bet365, and Unibet is at 24.5. And I believe we talked about it earlier when we showed the projections, but I see some people popping in here now. Bijan Robinson playing 70% of the snaps last week. Tyler Allgeier only playing 40. But Bijan has 11 targets and 10 grabs already. Through two games, he's got 10 grabs, 27 receiving yards in week one, and 48 last week. And we have him for 30 in our projections. And I think he's going to get there, 180 rushing yards on 29 carries. And we know how good this offensive line is, right? People keep calling them underrated. Like everyone, you just can't continue to say that. Allgeier had 1,000 yards and 200 carries last year. So Bijan's in there as well. There really is a lot more that I like. And since some people are hanging out here, for those that like picks, why not? Let's give them to you. I encourage you guys to check out the FTM betting package. Hockey's around the corner here. We're always going to give free picks on this show. But with the betting package, is more than the picks. You get the stats, you get the tools, you get the projections, Discord channel, you get all picks from everybody across all sports. There's a couple others that I like here. I just want to give like 15 for George. I think Ridley's going to have a bounce back game at over 66.5 receiving yards. Keenan Allen at over 71.5 receiving yards. I got Josh Reynolds here at over 41.5 receiving yards, 80 in week one, 66 in week two, averaged 67 receiving yards over the first five games of Jared Goff last year before the injury happened. It looks like he's the number two option. Amon-Ra sounds like he's going to play, but could be limited, could suffer a setback. Those things could happen. So I'm in on Reynolds. George Pickens, 51.5 receiving yards. Feels safer about his receiving yards than his reception prop, although he does have 9 catches in 2 games. 71-yard touchdown last week, 18.1 yards per catch, and is the number one option on that team with Deontay Johnson sideline. Nico Collins is the other guy that I wanted to touch on. Oh, inside that same game, Jalen Warren, 10.5 receiving yards, 2.5 catches, plus 105. We had the over 2.5 receptions on Monday, a plus 160. I think he has 8 or 9 grabs for the first two games, but 10.5 receiving yards for sure is something that he can do off one grab, and we know the Raiders have struggled to cover backs rushing and them catching out of the backfield. Nico Collins is the final one here I'll address. 50.5 receiving yards. Finally, the breakout season, as we said earlier from him. 20 targets, 13 grabs, 226 yards through two games. That ranks inside the top 10. His yards per catch at 17.4 and his targets as well inside the top 10 with 20. Remember, he had 36 targets in his last four games last year. That was with Davis Mills. This year, we are seeing CJ Stroud, but we're seeing him focus in. First reads, according to our data, is Nico Collins. I know Tank Dell got some love last week, which was nice to see. He should be picked up. Don't think we're starting him, but he should be picked up. And Robert Woods, same sort of deal. Should own him. Don't feel great about starting him in a PPR league, sure. But last week, the Texans were down 4 offensive linemen. That's why Damian Pierce is a sit for me. And I don't think they're going to have a lot of success running the football. They're nearly 10-point dogs. Jacksonville's going to score some points. So I do believe that Nico Collins is going to get some targets and some run. I do have some touchdown props here for you guys. We did, we didn't nail the parlay last week. We had Chubb on it. Calvin Ridley, plus 130. Keenan Allen, plus 135. Isaiah Pacheco at plus 140. Sam Laporta at plus 230. Jordan Addison at plus 230. Guys that are a little bit juiced, Gibbs, Etienne, Walker. Kenneth Walker is getting those goal line opportunities. Travis Etienne in the spot against the Texans. I expect them to win that game by 10 points. We could see a Tank Bigsby touchdown. That would be a long shot TD call in that game. And Jahmyr Gibbs. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to find the end zone this week with no Dave Montgomery. I would expect Gibbs maybe to get a couple red zone rushing attempts, maybe a couple targets, maybe it's a receiving yard touchdown. So Gibbs, Etienne, a Walker at plus 628. The guys on the left are kind of obvious, but prop shop to get your best possible number. Keenan Allen's off to a really good start so far this season, that high total game. Also like TJ Hawkinson to score a touchdown. Jordan Addison at plus 230. Calvin Ridley, good week one, not so good week two. I think he bounces back here, plus 130 to find the end zone. And then Sam Laporta would be my kind of long shot there at plus 230. I've noticed he's had some red zone targets, and Josh Reynolds would be another one inside that game as well. If you're looking, like, I love to give long shots too. Like, I like seeing the 20-1 Bell touchdown from last night. And I just want to give some winners. At the end of the day, we want to cash some of these tickets. We don't just want to give long shots for the sake of giving long shots. But I'm going to roll through some of these games with you guys right now and tell you which way I lean, even though I gave you my favorite spreads, and we'll get out of here on this stuff. So Tennessee +3.5. We talked about that. You know, Hopkins, Derrick Henry, Amari Cooper in a pinch, Elijah Moore, Jerome Ford in a pinch, your running back, you know, the depth could be pretty weak for you, but I would be starting some other running backs. I don't think Ford's going to do a whole lot this week, but he should get a lot of opportunities, and volume is king in fantasy. I would lean to Atlanta covering this at +3.5. The Falcons, Bijan, you're starting. Algier in a tough spot as a flex. Drake London is like a flex. He's not a wide receiver 3 for me. He's a flex. I would look elsewhere. Kyle Pitts, I don't know. This is a good matchup, but he hasn't really shown us a whole lot, has he, since his rookie season. Sam Laporta would play over Kyle Pitts. Josh Reynolds is a flex play. Amon, you're playing if he's playing. Gibbs, you're certainly playing. New Orleans, I like, as I mentioned, the Saints on the money line here. You're starting Thomas. You're starting Olave. I would stay clear of the backfield. I do believe Kendra Miller is a pretty good pickup. I don't know if I'm playing him. You know, I have to be pretty desperate to roll him out this week. But with one more game to miss for Alvin Kamara, we could see Kendra Miller take control of that backfield, you know. But I do believe Tony last week getting a couple scores and stuff. And plus Taysom Hill, this guy's going to get some carries and it's going to annoy you. On the Packers side of things, we did talk about Christian Watson. I have him ranked as roughly wide receiver 38. So I'm a little low on Christian Watson. Let me give you, we talked about the projection, did we not? I think he was on the board. It may have been on the board. I'll give you the consensus ranking from the crew over at FTN Fantasy when it comes to a Christian Watson. Where is the old boy, Watson? So Rakov has him at 46. The consensus is 45. I actually have him at 40. I see some 30s in there. So a little bit of a risky play. I would play Reynolds over him. I would play Gabe Davis over him, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Tutu Atwell, Judy, Drake London. Probably play Watson over Adam Thielen, but that one's close to me. It's tough, right? It's tough. First game back. Aaron Jones, he plays. You play him. If Aaron Jones doesn't play and A.J. Dillon plays, you don't play A.J. Dillon because he hasn't shown us a whole lot, and the Saints defense, pretty good. I have a lean here to Miami covering the 6.5. I don't know if that will go to 5, 5.5. If Waddle is ruled out, Tyreek Hill, you're playing. If Waddle does suit up, you're playing him. Raheem Mostert, you're playing. I would play Judy, and I would play Cortland Sutton for sure. Russ hasn't looked that bad. The defense hasn't played that great. So far, you have been able to run a Miami. You know, Vic Fangio's kind of, you know, playing back a little bit and giving you the rushing attempts. So we'll see. If this is a Javonte Williams game, you may be in a tough spot, have to play him, but he's roughly RB 25 for me. So we showed the projections. He wasn't inside the top 24. I would look elsewhere if you could, but I would be buying low on Javonte. Still believe he's coming off a significant injury. The touches are going to happen for him. Chargers and Vikings, you just start everybody inside that same game. Everyone, you know, just the two Chargers wide receivers. I do like Laporta a little bit more than Gerald Everett, and Hurts have a little bit more than Gerald Everett, but Hawkinson, Addison, even Madison, all the sons, I think you're playing here in this spot. K-Makers, not yet, but we'll see what happens there if you get some touches right off the hop. And Kelly, I think, is in a better bounce back spot. New England and New York, I would try to stay clear of everybody in this game. Ramondre Stevenson, I would certainly play. I'm not playing Zeke. Hunter Henry in a pinch. I like him. He's been ranked as a top 12 tight end for me, but this week, borderline with the weather and the matchup. Wouldn't be shocked if he found the end zone. Don't want to play Juju. Don't really want to play Kendrick Bourne either or Devontae Parker. Garrett Wilson, I get it. The high ceiling. You may have to play this guy. Bills, I have the lean here to the cover. I know Randall likes Washington. Sloppy weather game, potentially. You know, Washington's been getting after the quarterback. I just think the Bills are going to figure out a way to win this game by a touchdown. That's the way that I would lean at 6.5 here. In a pinch, super, super big pinch, like, I don't even want to suggest it. Latavius or Damian Harris, you're not playing Gibson. You're playing Brian Robinson over those guys, James Cook for sure. You're just hoping to get some red zone rushing attempts. And I don't think it's going to happen. This is something we talked about on the show. Like, James Cook is clearly the best back there. He's the guy that moves the chains. He's super efficient, catches balls out of the backfield. But we have seen Damian Harris and Latavius Murray get those red zone rushing attempts. And I think that's going to happen all year long. On the Texans side of things, I would try to find a different running back to play than Damian Pierce. You may just have to play Damian Pierce, but I would look elsewhere. Playing Nico Collins in a deeper league, I would be looking at Robert Woods and Tank Dell. You hope that the targets still continue to happen. Calvin Ridley, I would play Christian Kirk, ETN, and we're not going to play Tank Bigsby, but that would be my sneaky touchdown call this week. You're playing Michael Pittman. You're playing Zach Moss, even though it's a tough spot. I have Justice Hill ranked ahead of Gus Edwards. We got to wait to see what happens here with Justice Hill. I know he's on the injury report, but I think they show their true hand when they have Gus Edwards on the field because he doesn't catch any passes, and Justice Hill will catch a couple passes. But I would say that Gus Edwards is the goal line back there. Neither of these guys are ranked as top 24 backs for me. I've said all along that the backfield, I believe, is a trap, and you try to avoid it if you can. Carolina and Seattle in here. Jaxon Smith-Njigba would be the sit as the third option there. Just wait and see. Don't drop, but wait and see. I think in a 10-team league, you could move on from him. But Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Kenneth Walker, Carolina, Miles Sanders, and sneaky Adam Thielen, maybe with Dalton there. I'm sure he's going to lean on him a little bit there. DJ Moore, let's see how this backfield plays out this week. This will be the true test if it actually is Rashad Johnson in terms of garbage time. His receiving yard prop is 10.5. I like the over on that one. Khalil Herbert's at 7.5, and I like the over on that one too. I don't think it's set in stone yet that Roshan Johnson's the garbage time back, because we saw week one him be the garbage time back. Like, everyone was catching balls in that game. And Khalil Herbert caught passes last week when they were down by double-digit points. So it's going to be a bit of a timeshare. We'll see if Deontay Foreman is sidelined again. Rashawn Johnson is a guy that I think is going to continue to trend up, but I don't know if we can start him just yet. I still have Khalil Herbert ranked ahead of him on the same tier, but like 3 or 4 spots ahead of him. Sky Moore I would play. You're clearly playing the GOATs and Mahomes and Kelsey, and Pacheco I would play. And the only bear I would play would be DJ Moore. CeeDee Lamb, you're rolling out there. Tony Pollard, you're rolling out Dak. And that would be it. Hollywood Brown with the Diggs injury. Hollywood Brown, a little bit of an uptick. Zach Ertz can be started. He does lead all tight ends and targets. I would play him over Ferguson, and Ferguson in just deeper formats. But it does really have to be deeper formats for me to roll him out. Pickens, Najee bounce back. Think sneaky in DFS. Warren as a flex PPR. Devontae Adams. I do like playing Jacoby Myers here in this spot. I just suggested the running back, Brian Robinson, with a comment that we had earlier, instead of rolling out Jacoby and Devontae Adams. I think, you know, when Jacoby has that good game and you try to sell, I don't like to have two guys on one team and it being the Raiders. The Eagles and the Bucks here. Oh, yeah, I haven't really given spreads, have I? So I like New England 2.5. We gave that one. Minnesota, I like. Miami, the lean to them. New Orleans, I like. The Jags, I think, cover. Baltimore, I think, covers. Seattle, 5.5. I like that. I like Kansas City. I got to try to find a dog here for you guys. Oh, I like the Steelers. I like the Steelers plus 2.5. I like them on the money line. Dallas, I think, covers that one. Our model doesn't suggest that they will, but I think that Arizona is going to be like, they're going to score 10 points. Philly, I like them to win the game, but I like the Bucks there. I think the bounce back from Godwin, Otten is sneaky, playing a lot of snaps. I like him overall as a tight end, and I think the Eagles struggle against tight ends. And you're rolling out AJ, Devontae, and Swift. I don't think you can roll Kenneth Gainwell this week. As for the Rams, you know, have a backup plan here for Matthew or for Joe Burrow. Like, the obvious would be Matthew Stafford. That one would play out nicely. You know, with no Anthony Richardson here, you know, looking at this board, you know, I don't really want to play Sam Howell. CJ Stroud, man, he had a pretty decent day last week, but I don't know if I'm going there. Carr is in a tough spot on the road. Love is in a tough spot. Russell Wilson would be, if you don't want to wait out to Monday, I would go Russ right there. I'm not playing anyone in the New England and the Jets game. I don't want to play Watson or Tannehill, but I think Watson against the Titans, but I would go Russ over him. Geno for sure. Not playing anyone in the Pittsburgh and the Las Vegas game at the quarterback position. You could wait it out for Baker if you wanted. I think Russ and Watson are better options. I do believe Stafford is a better option as well. I have a lot of Burrow, and I picked up Stafford this week, and I'm just going to make that swap. And I could see you not wanting to play Burrow altogether. You know, I don't have him as a top 12 quarterback this week. So there are some other options. You know, rolling him out over the first 2 weeks, you may be 0-2. So I totally understand that. Ja'Marr Chase plays, you play Chase. if Burrow plays, you play Chase regardless. If Burrow doesn't play, maybe you find a backup there for T. Higgins. And maybe that backup is like Tutu Atwell, and Puka Nacua obviously over him as well. All right, I think we did it. We've certainly gone long. We're starting to freeze up again. Any questions? Any more questions here? Let's see. As a Packers fan, I love seeing the Bears poop the bed this season. Seth, standard league, old school standard league. Nice. I got one of these too. It's year 18. We don't even award a half a point for a catch. Kyren Williams, Javonte Williams, Breece Hall, Swift, Rashad White. You got to start Kyren Williams, even in a standard league. Like seeing those carries on the ground and, those receptions, those yards will count for you. So Kyren Williams is the guy. And I would lean with Swift or White. I did say earlier White because I do project White to get more touches than Swift, but I like the offensive line a lot more in Philadelphia, and I think he's got a better chance to score. So I will go with Swift. I'll go with Kyren Williams and DeAndre Swift. Another standard league question? Jeez, you guys are my people here. Need one in the flex. Kyren Williams, Lockett, or Kelly? Good question. I really like Lockett. A couple touchdowns there. I got to go with the running back. That's typically how I when I split hairs and how I lean with those automatic touches, right? He's going to get those carries, especially in a standard league here. I'm going to lean with Williams in this spot. I think he's in for another, 14 carries. Maybe he's going to catch another three or four passes, something that I think could happen. You got Josh Allen throwing 1.5 touchdowns over or under this week. I got the over on Josh Allen. I will always take the over Josh Allen over 1.5 passing touchdowns. One of my buddies, shout out Drew Livingstone, Bills Mafia. He's always talking to me about Josh Allen, 1.5 passing touchdowns. I think we had it last week at -150, if that was possible. I don't know what the line is this week. I think actually like Josh Allen's passing yard numbers are down. -115 for 2 passing touchdowns this week for Josh Allen. A sloppy weather game. Washington defense is pretty good. Even 245 passing yards is pretty low for Josh Allen. I want to see what we have him for in terms of projections for Josh Allen. I would always take that. Shell. Love. I would always take that. 1.5 passing touchdowns. Absolutely. What do we got here? Let's see. We may even have them like 1.8, 1.9, something like that. Okay. Something I'll tell you my bets. I'm going to tell you the bets. Tell me if I should change something up. I don't want to be that guy. I would really like, it's tough enough to give bets when they don't hit than to change your mind and then have them go the opposite way like you would have won if it wasn't for this guy giving you these bets. But I will give you some advice. Brzees 91, we're gonna hang out for a few minutes and give some DraftKings picks, but appreciate you. Cheers. Good luck this week with all your bets, all your picks. Josh Allen, we have him for 1.8 passing touchdowns from 255 passing yards. So there's an edge there on that 245. Again, sloppy weather, but Allen could throw 2 passing touchdowns, right? One to Diggs and one to multiple tight ends that he has. I would always take that 1.5. But yeah, leave your bets here and we can talk them up. And I don't know if you saw the bets that we just gave, but you can rewind the show and go back. We gave some picks against the spread, and we gave some props and some touchdown stuff. Are you a bit worried about the Saints' run defense, like it being good? Because it is good. I mean, I think that it's good. I don't know the numbers off by hand, but I thought they held Derrick Henry in check week one. They held Derrick Henry in check, right? He had the big catch, the receiving yards there. Derrick Henry, what did Derrick Henry have in week one? He's kind of limited at the moment. He's 63 rushing yards. Like, that's pretty good to hold him in check. And then last week they played Miles Sanders, and Miles Sanders didn't do a whole lot in that game. He caught 3 passes, which we had on the show, but he had 43 rushing yards. The Saints run defense is awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. So that's why I would not play AJ Dillon, even if Aaron Jones played. I have Aaron Jones roughly running back 20, 21. I would play him because he can catch some passes into the backfield, but yeah, it's not the best spot. I don't know if you have any other options, if that's why you asked, but that's part of why I'm leaning with the Saints to win this game on the road. That's one of my picks, one of my upset picks. I like the Saints team. What can I say? I think that they're going to host a playoff game. What do we got here? Okay, you got Patrick Mahomes throwing two touchdowns. I like that one. Yeah, he can throw two, no doubt. Tua throwing two TDs. Both you have over. So you need three. Three's a lot. Like, I would lean to the over on Mahomes on 2.5. I don't know if I would do it with Tua, especially if there's no Waddle. And you have Dak and you have Allen. So, yeah, I mean, I like these bets. Two is a touch high. And I don't know about three, but if you just need two, like, okay, you just need two. Great. I like it. I like this. Taking them as singles. I'm a single bettor. I know parlays are fun. I say that, but, you know, come hockey season, I'm, you know, shot prop parlays all day long. I definitely like some parlays. I'm not going to lie. But the singles, how many times have you gone 3 for 4, 4 for 5, and you don't earn a profit? But if you take all those as singles, you're earning a profit. I mean, it's not, the payout isn't as nice, but that's how you build a bankroll. And then you can take some shots on some of these parlays. But, you know, you go 3 for 4 this week, you know, you don't win that ticket on a parlay, but at the end of the day, you're up. So you just need two. That's great. I like all those plays there. Dak, Allen. I would probably rank them Mahomes, Allen, Dak, Tua. No Waddle. That's the one I'm a little bit hesitant on with the Waddle. The Denver Broncos defense hasn't been great this year, but typically, like the past couple of years, they still have the same personnel. They've been good. I mean, Patrick Surtain's been great. You have Dylan. I don't know what else you have there as other options. I think we want to get out. I see a bunch of people hanging out here. If you are looking for some picks and some props, we went through some of them earlier. I'll show the board here again. I'm not going to dive into the analysis, but if you want that, I don't blame you. It's in the write-ups over at ftmbets.com, and we rolled through some of this as well when we talked about it. So Nacua over on his receiving yards, Flowers, Addison over on his receiving yards, CeeDee Lamb, 5.5 grabs, 68.5 receiving yards, DJ Moore, receiving yards and catches, Bijan Robinson, receiving yards and rushing yards. We have a couple of touchdown calls here, Ridley, Keenan Allen, Pacheco, Laporta, Addison. We do have a little fun parlay there with Gibbs, Etienne, and Walker. Those guys just a little bit too juice to take as singles. We went over some picks against the spread here. +3.5 Tennessee, Seattle 5.5, Tampa at +5.5, New England, Minnesota, and New Orleans on the money line. We have the under in New York between the Jets and the Patriots, the Browns and the Titans, the over between the Chargers and Minnesota. We hit both the parlay and the teaser last week, so hopefully we can continue that. Jacksonville, Baltimore, Buffalo, Seattle, and then the teaser. -1 for the Bills. Just got to win the game, Seattle and Buffalo. The Chargers to win. You got -3 there. Baltimore -2.5. Dallas and KC at 7. And I do believe those teams will win by 10. Those hanging out, DraftKings. I'll roll through this one pretty quickly. I've been doing it for the past for the first 2 weeks and had some positive feedback. So we'll start at the quarterback position. The quarterback that I would spend up for, not breaking any news, it is Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think I'm going to really live in that range at 8-3 on DraftKings. I like Herbert at 7-5. I like Cousins a lot. He's probably my favorite quarterback this week at 6-9. Going down the board, you know, hit him high, hit him low. You know, Geno at 5-7 at home against Carolina. And I think Stroud could be an interesting tournament play at 5-3 against Jacksonville. Just, I am worried about the offensive line. It does sound like CJ Stroud is going to suit up in this game and play. But, you know, last week was pretty good playing from behind, right? He had 384 passing yards. He's got a 63% completion rate through his first two games. Now, he only has two passing touchdowns. He's not a guy that's going to run a whole lot. He does have 21 rushing yards, but playing from behind, and he's built the rapport with some of his weapons. Definitely Nico. Gardner Minshew, I'm not going there. Tannehill, not going there. So I'm really living in the Herbert and Cousins range. And then spending down, I would maybe lean on Russ, but I like Geno and I like CJ Stroud tournament-wise. If you're a cash game player, cash would just be head-to-head, smaller contests, 50-50s, double ups. I would, you know, go with the safer options there. At the running back position, Bijan Robinson at 7-8, Tony Pollard at 8. Those are kind of two spend-up options for me, but I'm living in that 6-9 range with Travis Etienne. I'm sure he's going to be very popular, but it is a really good spot against the Houston Texans. Passing on Stevenson, I like Gibbs at 6-6. Passing on Cook and Connor, Walker I like at 6-2. Raheem Mostert I like at 6K. Madison is a sneaky little tournament option because I don't think his ownership will be high. We've seen him struggle to start the season, some fumbles. They just acquired Cam Akers, so it's possible his ownership is very, very low, and it could be a decent game from him, considering the high total. Miles Sanders not touching. Dalvin Cook, I'm not touching. Zach Moss, the usage is there, but I'm not interested in touching him. Joshua Kelly, same sort of deal, coming off that stinker. It's always about what have you done for me lately in a DFS and tournaments. There's a recency bias there. And at 5'4", somebody that I really like that price tag. Pacheco at 5'4", he's got the questionable tag, but I do believe he's okay, right? Yeah, he's limited in practice at 5'4" for him. I do like that spot. Looking at a cheaper running back, Khalil Herbert at 5'1", Samaje Perine at 4'9". These are just, these plays are, they seem okay. The ceiling isn't extremely high for a guy like Perine. I would probably just go maybe Rashawn Johnson at 4'7". You hope he catches a couple balls out of the backfield. You can have a cheap stack. Maybe you have Mahomes and Kelsey and Sky Moore, and you bring it back with DJ Moore and Rashawn Johnson and those guys catching some balls out of the backfield, some garbage time stuff there. But that's probably as cheap as I would go at the running back position. I know Jones Jr. for the Saints is 4'5". I'm not really doing it because, man, you'll pull your hair out with Taysom Hill. I know last week he had some touchdowns and Kendra Miller would see some work from him, but you'd be pulling your hair out, rolling out running backs and Taysom Hill getting those touches. Justin Jefferson, not breaking any news, 9-3. If you can find a way to get him in, you find a way to get him in. Keenan Allen, though, at 7-6, love that game. It's going to be very popular, high total game, a lot of points. Definitely, you know, pass happy offense, Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. But Addison should be on your radar. You know, guys like that, you fit in what you can. The contrarian way would probably be rolling out some of those backs and Kelly and Madison in that matchup. Let's see. Mike Williams, 6K. Certainly like Mike Williams. DJ Moore, 5'7". Tournament play only. Zay Flowers, I like him at 5'4", and Addison at 5'5". A lot of these guys that I've been betting on with the props, you know, I like him in DFS as well. 5'3", for Nico Collins. Going down the list here, Kadarius Toney is nicked up. Questionable, you wouldn't say. Sky Moore at 4'4". Certainly like that price tag for him. Adam Thielen, 3'9". I mean, it's looking at the wide receivers under 4K. The ceiling isn't super high, but, you know, I think Andy Dalton's going to really lean on him. He had 9 targets and 7 grabs last week. Didn't do a whole lot with them, only 54 yards, but looking for a wide receiver sub 4. He's certainly somebody that does stand out, and I'm sure he's going to take a shot or two with DJ Chark down the field as well, but it's a tournament play only. And that's really as cheap as I would go. I'm not going Mingo at 3-4. I am not going Quentin Johnson. I'm not going Michael Wilson, although he's a guy that I like and I'm hanging on to where I can. But Thielen's probably that cheapest one at the tight end position. Kelsey at 7-2, Hockenson at 6-5. Both of those guys, no issues with any of them, even Mark Andrews. I typically like to either go up at the top or spend way down at the tight end position. I do like Sam Laporta at 4K here, knowing that Amon-Ra is not 100%, Reynolds, you know, limited in practice this week at 4K. Really like what I've seen from Sam Laporta through the first two games. Hayden Hurst, just don't see the ceiling there, but 3-8 for him. Zach Ertz, 3-5. He's going to be pretty popular. He does lead all tight ends and targets, but at 3-5, I think that's a decent little price tag there, and the volume should be there. They're 12-point dogs, 13-point dogs in some spots. That's really it. That would be my spend down position at tight end. I think if the weather wasn't so sloppy between Buffalo and Washington, I would be looking at a guy like Cole Turner. Cole Turner, you know, he's got 3 catches and 4 targets here through the first two games. He had a great preseason. Logan Thompson, Thomas is ruled out, but we're getting a little cute. But if you're looking to punt the position at 2-7, that would be a way to do so. Defenses, you know, Cowboys are 4-4. Right, again, broken record, not breaking any news. If you can get them in, sure. Chiefs at 3-9. I like the Jags at 3-8. I think they're going to be able to get pressure on Stroud there, who's yet to turn the ball over. And we talked about the completion percentage, but man, it's tough, man, when you got like, you know, 3 or 4 offensive linemen that are just not 100% and may not play. That sort of stuff's going to catch up to you. But the Patriots at 3-5 is a really good price tag here for them. I stay away from the Browns and the Titans. Even though the Titans are a good defense, I want to get a defense where there's going to be some pass attempts. And if these teams are just going to run the football and there's not going to be a lot of high scoring, then kind of shy away. But I would lean Tennessee at 3K over the Browns at 3-3. And something you'd be surprised. Sometimes like the Vikings and Chargers, like that just, it could be a lot of points and they're going to give up a lot of points, but sometimes, you know, some turnovers and things like that. I wouldn't totally ignore them. I like spending down at times for a defense. I think the defense to spend down on this week would be probably the Commanders at 2-4, because Josh Allen, as much as we like him to have two passing touchdowns, he does have a history of throwing some picks for sure. All right, I think we're going to get out of here. Kirk Cousins or Justin Herbert, who do you start this week? My goodness, you got both of these guys. I would start Kirk Cousins. I have Cousins one spot ahead of Justin Herbert. I don't think you can go wrong with either of these guys. My piece of advice to you would be to trade one of them, and most likely nobody's going to want Kirk Cousins, and I know this may be tough to do considering the price you probably spent on Herbert. I had this question yesterday. Somebody had Lamar and Trevor Lawrence. You trade one of these guys, right? You're going to be playing this game all year long. Who do I start? You pick the wrong one. It frustrates you. How could you know, right? I mean, I've played this game before. I've learned this the hard way, you know, a few years ago, having two good quarterbacks. You know, come bye week, you pick one off of the waiver wire. You're going to start Herbert most likely every single week. I would try to trade Herbert. He's the big name. He's the guy that you could probably get something for. What do you need? Try to play it that way. But this week I would lean Kirk Cousins. But again, I don't think you can go wrong. I think our projections have Herbert at 20.7 and Kirk at 20.5. It goes Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, Lamar, Herbert, Cousins, Tua, T-Law, Fields, Dak, Watson, Geno, Goff. Purdy played last night. I'll go a little bit deeper for the people here. After Purdy's Russ, Love, Stafford, Baker, Kenny Pickett, Carr, Jake Browning's in there, Jimmy G, Stroud, Howell. I would play Stafford over Love. I'll play Baker over Love. Pickett and Carr in some tough spots, yeah. Should I attack $100 or play it safe for $50 if I attack? I have the 4-for-4 played safe. Got to hit 3-for-4. What's your suggestion? My suggestion, if you wanted this to be a parlay, would be the 3-for-4. That's how I would attack it. I would put the way that I would play that one personally would be just a full unit on all of them. That could be $1. It could be 10. It could be 100. It could be whatever, you know, you want that unit to be. But in a parlay like that, I probably would play it safe for the 3-for-4. Of course, the payout's not going to be as nice. You get the 4-for-4, you're good. You 3-for-4, you cover your bases. One thing I will throw at you is prizepicks.com. They got the flex play and the power play, and I'm a big fan of that because our guy George has a lot of 3-for-4s, 4-for-5s on his parlays, and over at prizepicks, you know, you can afford to get one wrong, and you will still earn yourself a little bit of a profit. I like that. I mean, so many times, I'm sure you've seen it before, and a lot of people that are into betting, so many times the 4-for-5s, the 3-for-4s, you just get burned. Prize Picks is awesome. We have a pick tracker, a free pick tracker over at FTN Daily, FTNFantasy.com, FTNBets.com. Promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. If you're a new user, you can refer a friend. You could sign up for free. FTN, they'll match that deposit, refer a friend, you get another $50 in your account. And then you can do like the flex, the 3-for-4, 4-for-5, 5-for-6. We've nailed a few of those this year in baseball, and I love it for hockey. And I've yet to dive into it for football, but that reminds me, I'm going to put a couple entries in. I'll put a link inside the description of this video visiting that will send you to the site for the free pick tracker. And I'll do a couple, you know, some parlays there for you guys. I would not play Reynolds as an RB2. What is that, your option, AJ Dillon or Reynolds? Oh my. If that's your option, I would play AJ Dillon over him. And I may even play Kenneth Gainwell over those guys. I don't think Reynolds is gonna get a ton of work, man. I could be wrong. But I think Gibbs is going to get a majority of those. I know he's only at 7 in each of those games. I think Reynolds is going to get some work, but it's a pretty risky play. You know that AJ Dillon's at least going to get some touches. Gus Edwards is your RB2. Just need some context. Need some context. Like, what other options do you have? You know, Gus Edwards or this guy? We'll see. What does it mean when they say 1.5 passing touchdowns? Like, in the projections are never going to be like 1, 2, 3, or 4. They're always going to be like 1.3 or 1.4 or 1.7. But when a book tells you 1.5 passing touchdowns, you're going over or under. So it's either two, you think that there's going to be two passing touchdowns, or you think that he's going to throw a one or a zero. It's one or the other. You're never going to see, like, you could do some, like, books will allow like alternates, like 2+, 3+, 4+, and your odds of course will change. But for the most part, that 2+ should be the same as 1.5. You get two, you get it. 2+, you get two, you get it as well. It doesn't need to be over two. I need an RB. Who would you trade for? Lost Chubb. Okay, we'll get out of here on this question. We didn't really do much buy low, sell high stuff. The free article every single week at FTN Fantasy talking about trade targets. Some running backs that I would consider trading for that are buy low candidates that I think that you can get at this moment. I will start with Najee Harris. Najee Harris has not looked good to start the season. There's a lot of buzz around Jaylen Warren, but Najee Harris has a decent spot this week against the Raiders, and next week he has the Texans. Then there's the bye week 6, but, you know, don't want to look ahead too much, but, you know, week 13 against Arizona is a pretty good spot. The Colts week 15, I know the rush defense has been okay, but that seems like it's a pretty decent spot too. You have Herbert to trade. It's probably not a great time to trade Khalil Herbert because a lot of people are talking about Roshan, as they should. And it's tough to trade some of these guys when they're at their all-time low. It would suggest trading when they come off a big game. But running backs that I would knock, that I would call to see if they are available, I think the biggest one would be Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, buy low candidate. You know, maybe Eckler or Barkley. I have no problem taking on those guys, but if you're really desperate for a running back, you probably don't want to do that. But I view them as buy low candidates because if an owner after this week is 0-3 with Saquon or 0-3 with Austin Eckler, they just mean me looking for a healthy body. Like, and if you were, you know, if you had a Kyron Williams or you had a Jerome Ford or Kelly, you're able to pick up some of these guys. Zach Moss, like Zach Moss is a sell high candidate. I would be trading him immediately because I do believe Taylor will come back. You know, you trade some of these guys that have been waiver wire pickups, even a Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, you trade these guys to RB needy teams, you get away from them and buy low in some players. But I'd say Jacobs is like number one buy low candidate. I would say Najee Harris would be number two. Breece Hall, I've been willing to roll the dice on Breece Hall. I think Dalvin Cook is, I think he just doesn't look good. Breece Hall is going to get more touches. I get it. It's Zach Wilson. This is a different offense than we viewed 3 weeks ago before Rodgers went down. Jonathan Taylor, not for you because you looks like, yeah, you got Kamara on the bench. You got Montgomery, but Jonathan Taylor, if people don't need an RB right now, I think is a buy low candidate. Kamara's coming back. Probably can't buy low on him. Wouldn't be buying low on Madison. Javonte Williams, I view as a buy low candidate. Pacheco, could you get him? I view him as a buy low candidate. I wouldn't sell high on Brian Robinson. I would be moving on from Dalvin Cook. Cam Akers, I just don't know. Are we buying him? It's just going to be a mess. And other than that, like I just, you know, Roshan Johnson, I try to acquire, but he's not a guy that's really going to help you out immediately right now. If I saw Tank Bigsby on the waiver wire, I'd pick him up. I'd pick up Zach Charbonnet if I found him on the waiver wire. Yeah, you need someone for this week. It's tough, man. Like, you know, it's really tough to make a trade on a Friday. You need a running back for this week. Try Harris. Try Jaylen Warren. Try Jacobs. There's not a lot of running backs that I think, you know, could be available for you. You know, Zach Moss, you may be able to get, but it's just like a short-term ad. It's a short-term ad. Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, one of those guys could be available for you. Don't think Pacheco would be. Don't think Rashad White would be. Don't want Dylan. Yeah, man, it's really tough. I would start there with some of those running backs. Definitely, you need some help. You know, you roll out Herbert this week. You roll out Gus Edwards. And you hope those guys find the end zone and they catch a few passes. But we're going to get out of here. If you have any questions at all, at Chris Meany, reach out on the Twitter machine, meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. You're watching a replay here. You can leave it in the comment section. Always circling back on these videos to help you guys out. Mr. Pope will be here live on Sunday morning answering your start or sit questions as well. So if you have any of that stuff, by all means, hit him up. And you can always reach out on Twitter there at Chris Meany, and I will certainly be around to help you guys out. Screenshot your team. Give me a little bit of context. We'll go from there. Looks like you picked up Zach Moss off the waiver wire. So you roll out Zach Moss. You roll out Zach Moss. You could trade Keenan Allen and get yourself a little bit of running back depth if you like your wide receivers. But yeah, we have a free trade chart too to check out over at FTM Fantasy on how we value players. But we're going to get out of here. Good luck, guys. Let's let the winners be yours. Picks, props, fantasy, and we'll be back on Monday to break it all down. Cheers.